Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
My God, that's terrible. Are you strangling a cat, Paddy?
No, I'm actually trying to make one of those ads where they get people's attention by using the sound of some really unusual noise.
Well, that makes more sense.
I'm learning the Ghanaian bamboo flute. I think it'll get everyone's attention.
Could you not just tell them about the really good sign-up offer for listeners of the Football Ramble? You know, the one where you open a Paddy Power account, bet a tenner and get a free 20 quid bet, no strings.
We all know the answer to that one. Go to paddypower.com/ramble.
Maybe Paddy heard about the words.
That's frighteningly
good.
Not
too good. Bad, is it? Yeah.
So much as good as my Mike Tyson impression, which I won't be doing now.
I'm in the tinder sticks.
Or Anthony and the Johnsons. You can use that for a few.
He's a little bit higher. How?
I'm going to eat his children.
Take a walk on the wild side, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's
tribute.
It's good to have you here, and it's good to have me here. I'm Marcus, and I've got Pete with me.
Yes, hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
And Jim.
Good evening.
Oh, and it is evening as we're recording.
Mm.
Manchester United had a dedicated singing section for the Champions League match at home to Real Sociedad. And interestingly enough, I believe at Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace have a designated section where you have to wear black.
That's not
really
true.
That's what I was told today.
Someone's okay. Lied to you.
I thought the black shirts are back and it's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
Not
ideal. Odd place for that to start.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you were given an area of a football ground, what sort of section would you make it, Pete?
I'd have like a corner of the stadium that was kind of like surrounded by and encased in perspex, also making like a little sort of roof, a box, if you will, like a perspex box.
Yeah.
I'd call it the rare section.
Yeah.
And it would contain racists and people with flares.
Okay.
So there'd be racism. Nobody'd have to hear the racism, and also they'd get choked by the flares.
A small minority.
Yeah,
I like that. Would they have to pay the same amount to get in?
Yeah, pretty much. But they're allowed to bring flares and racism.
I don't think you're going to get many tables.
The FSF not going to go for that.
No,
yeah, look, be racist. Shout, bring as many you know, racist items as you want. Monkey chanting, whatever.
Yeah.
You can do what you want, but in a perspex
box.
And also, you will die because of the flares.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to tackle
it. I've got no further questions on that. I'm not sure about you two.
Email us at Luke.
I thought what I would have, and I actually think this might work quite well.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that Pete's isn't realistic, but for mine, maybe slightly more realistic. As far as I would have a dedicated section of the ground where you could just do other stuff. So basically, you could muck around. There'd be like a little arcade in there.
Mm, yeah.
There'd be TV station shows of other games.
Yeah, advent calendar.
Yeah, all that. Anything goes.
Is that not just a box?
Yeah, it is, but a whole section of the crowd. Yeah, so it's bigger, much bigger.
It's good because, you know, the layman doesn't have access to the stuff you get in the boxes, so you're bringing the boxes outside.
Exactly.
Really. You're taking the box outside of the box.
It's
not even a box.
No. And pizza's the box. You've had that one. what would have to happen in return is every other section of the ground, they'd have to behave like proper old-fashioned,
gentlemen.
Proper football fans.
Mm.
So no mobile phones, no taking your seats after kick-off, all wearing a hat and having one of those rattles.
Yeah,
turn up on a Boris Penny farthing.
All that stuff. And so if you're not down with that, that's fine. You can get yourself off to the whatever section it's called.
Chain-smoking.
I haven't got a name for it yet. Yeah, you can smoke.
Yeah.
All that stuff. But if you're not happy with that, you can go to the modern, in quotes, section. You can play on the arcade or watch another game or do something else. Have a prawn sandwich if you want.
Mm.
But you've got to do it in that section.
Yeah. Where do we stand on fantastic in-play betting?
And just to reiterate, I didn't think I'd have to say this, but just because of Pete's point, there would be no racism in that one. Yeah, no racism anywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't matter where you are.
But I do quite like Pete's one. Presumably the people with the flares wouldn't be racist, so
yeah.
It would be a bit of a trap. Yeah, if you're racist... yeah, there's no such thing as the racist section. Ah, I'd light the flares and then you're off. Shut the door. Yeah.
Nasty little fuckers, all dead.
Yeah. There you go.
Jim.
Dogs. Thousands of dogs.
Yeah, got Marcus.
Just imagine it.
And just as humans.
Dogs. No, not just as humans. Just having a brilliant time because they're sort of outside.
Jim, you know I love dogs as much as you do, and you will be winning the points. I'll tell you that.
Oh, come on.
But to be fair to Luke, it would make it marginally better if a couple of them at least were
wearing ties.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, it's the owner's discretion, isn't
football
it?
Football kits.
So, I'd even say you should have a snooker table somewhere.
I could play cards somewhere.
Yeah. Could I just say, if you take a moment to think about it,
thousands
it
of them
would be amazing.
Imagine what it would sound like.
A thousand dogs in a stand behind the goal. when the goal went in the back of the net.
Yeah, yeah. They would just go for it. The absolute pylon.
They'd go mental when the ball went into the crowd.
Yeah, and players would surely be kicking the ball into the crowd deliberately.
One of them get a whiff of a pepperami or a hot dog.
Yeah.
They're off.
It would be just joyous, wouldn't it? I mean, hopefully there would be no racism. I suppose that would depend on the owners, wouldn't it? Yeah. And how they'd raise
the
dogs.
Owners have to put the dogs in the section, they go and take their seat.
Yeah, they'd have to be vetted.
Human seats.
And then everyone has to get them back at the end.
I don't know why. It's reminded me of an email. Do you remember that? Was it in South Korea when 100 children played against?
Yeah.
Was it Real Madrid or something?
Yeah.
And Luke's reply was,
I don't think it was Real Madrid.
No, I think it was.
It was a big side.
Was it?
It was a proper side, yeah.
Really?
And wow. Luke replied, I'd like to play football against 100 pigs.
It'd be hard.
Yeah. It would be very hard.
For some reason, it just
reminded
me of that.
They wouldn't understand the concept of competition in any way.
And that makes me laugh.
And
a
also,
lot.
It makes you feel, I don't know about you guys, well, hopefully I do know about you guys. it's not nice when you kick an animal, is it? Even if it's accidentally. So you'd be really tentative.
Yeah. Have you ever just had a little toe poke at a pigeon?
No.
And neither have I. It's not satisfying at all.
Final word on the dogs section. It's something we all lament. It's the fact you don't really see dog on the pitch anymore.
With a
dog section, that would happen a lot.
Dogs in the stand.
Yeah. Do you remember that bit where an injured bird? It was an injured bird of prey or something landed on the pitch and the guy just picked it up and flung it.
Mm. Oh, it was an owl, wasn't it?
Oh, and there was a dog quite recently as well. A Brazilian footballer tried to throw it over a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was horrible.
The crowd went mental on each occasion, which is great.
And the bird you're talking about was in Colombia, and it was an owl, I think.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and the guy killed it.
The stadium would obviously be nicknamed the Kennel, something like that.
Yeah, it would.
I'm sure there's lots of pubs.
Kennel with Road will be where we trial it.
Yeah. that's right. I was thinking the Harvard and Art section. So everyone has to dress
just
like
him.
Al Ronaldo.
Yeah.
No, not just him.
He's in the middle of a massive throne, a massive empty stand.
Can I be in the dugout? What, half we've created this section? Yeah. At every football club, just in case you turn up. Yeah. You know. Jim's got the points. Easy peasy.
Oh, he says one three-letter word.
Dog time.
All right, I'll go for God.
Indeed.
Is that any better? Do I win the points now?
You're trying to kill people in your section.
I'd like to change mine.
I'm trying to kill racists.
A dedicated Christian section. Mark, have I got a point, Mark?
Can I put the dogs in with the flares and the racists?
Mark,
really naughty dogs.
Do you prefer dogs or Jesus? In which case, are we having the points?
Your points will be in heaven. Now, let's move on to the Premier League, where Crystal Palace, they lost 2-0 at home to Arsenal. They played quite well, but Ian Holloway's left the club.
Mm.
He admitted he'd lost the dressing room.
It's a real shame.
Presumably the spirit rather than the geographical.
Yeah, maybe he said that as a joke last season.
Oh, did he?
Said, people say, I've lost the dressing room. I actually know where it is. It's down the corridor.
Yeah,
on the
joke's on you now, Holloway. Because you actually have lost it.
And I've just, unbeknown to me, rehashed an old crappy Ian Holloway joke.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll remain silent for the rest of the proceedings.
Yeah.
Jim, Arsenal.
Yeah, it was
slightly laboured, wasn't it?
It was a harder game than you know, was ideal. But, you know, it was important that Arsenal dug in and won, because you've got to know how to play badly and win over the course of a season if you're going to do anything resembling well, and they managed to do that. And, you know, I thought the sending off was incredibly harsh, and to respond by, you know, it was very much backs against the wall, but to then just kill off the game.
But you can understand why the referee thought it was a foul, can you not?
Yeah, but just looking back at it, it does seem an incredibly harsh red.
I thought it was very harsh. The distance he was away from the goal, and the fact that it wasn't even necessarily a foul.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, I mean, how he was only just past the halfway line.
Yeah,
and you've got another defender coming along. A lot can happen between the halfway line and the and the goal. And given that the fact that people say, oh, he's the last man, that doesn't actually mean anything. Last man isn't mentioned in the rules or the laws of the game. It's a denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. So it comes down to whether you think that goal-scoring opportunity was obvious or not.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
I'll be very
that,
surprised
he must rate Shamak.
Well, I think it was Ian McIntosh. A couple of people have said this elsewhere, but it's worth saying again that Shamak, one-on-one with Shamak, is not necessarily a goal-scoring opportunity.
But in all seriousness, though, Marcus, would you say that was an obvious goal-scoring opportunity? In which case, if not, you can't send him off.
But if he thinks it's last man... Then
it doesn't matter about being last man. Because he's so far away from the goal, anything can happen. You know, he might be last man at that point.
Sure, but if he thinks the defender's going to get there... I mean, if you think about Torres' goal in the semi-final of the Champions League, if he got taken out on his way to goal, on his very long way to goal, if the referee deems it as, I thought he was going to go into goal and then he's got a goal-scoring opportunity, then he's got to get
the red. I would say at that point, when the goalkeeper's got so long to prepare for it, does that make it an obvious goal-scoring opportunity? Clearly it's a one-on-one where you play 50-50.
Last week we were saying sometimes when a keeper's got too long to look at the ball, it can be tricky. So yeah. I think the question was it a foul or was it not? Did Shamak go into Arteta? I'd say that was more the argument.
It's a bit of a coming together. Overall, though, I thought given that Arsenal lost Flamini and Arteta for different reasons, the two sort of players at the base of their midfield.
Dreadful news.
Yeah, I thought they played very well. Because Palace are playing for their... You know, a lot of the Palace players there are playing for their futures because of... I mean, we don't know who's going to be the new manager. It looks like it might be Tony Pulis. He's the favourite at the moment.
He says he's got major reservations, though. At a hat shop, no doubt. For a Crystal Palace baseball cap fitting.
Yeah. But imagine that. If you're a Palace player and you know Pulis is coming to town... Yeah. You know, you can turn up first training session, start bollock naked and start making your hoop. Right, okay, the first training session is who can kick the ball the highest. No. So it would not what's going to happen. But so to that end, I was going to say that Palace at home, and Arsenal are a good team, but I mean, it was a good win for Arsenal because a lot of these players are playing for their futures. And actually, the fella who brought down their Gnabry for the penalty, Guardiola. That's just a ridiculous challenge. I mean, at any level, you'd be annoyed at that.
It's giving a goal away.
It really is. I mean, they worked so hard in the first half to get to the half-time at 0-0. And then, what was it, 2 minutes after half-time or something?
Yeah.
He gives that penalty away. And the penalty's not going to be missed, obviously. So, it's a real shame.
But they had a couple of cracking efforts, Palace. A wonderful save from Szczesny.
Szczesny's in great form at the moment. Yeah. The Flamini's a huge loss, though. I mean, he's out for 3 weeks, it's hinted at, which is Arsenal code for we don't know yet.
Yeah. But is it a concussion?
We'll see what happens.
Is it a concussion?
No, that was from the week before, yeah.
Okay. I know that Blackpool fans probably don't hold Holloway in such high regard as they did when he was, tearing up the Premier League a couple of seasons ago. Do you think he did the right thing following a sword like that? I mean, it's quite a big decision to make, isn't it?
Well, he's very early on as well.
Yeah.
He's a funny bloke, isn't he, Holloway?
But just admitting that, you know, he couldn't motivate this set of players. And, you know, if the next manager comes in and Luke sort of says, you know, they're playing for the next manager, it's like, they don't sound like the most motivated of players. They don't sound like the most...
They've got a few problems. The problems I think they've got, you know, looking from the outside, is they've signed an awful lot of players. Yeah. So they're not the most together of squads, it doesn't look like to me. Right. So the other thing that Holloway did, which was a bit strange, is the big sort of showpiece signing for them was Dwight Gale. It cost quite a lot of money.
Yeah, that's $6 million.
Yeah, $6.5 million, I think. He was playing the non-league a while back or whatever. You know, he's a young player. Mm. But he's not playing him.
No.
So he didn't start against Arsenal. So he starts with Shamak, who's had, I think, I'm not even exaggerating here, I think Shamak's had 2 shots in 2 months.
Yeah, I think that was right.
And he's playing... And
scored
he's,
one of them, though.
Well, fair enough, but it's not enough, though, is it?
No.
He's leading the line for that team. And the other thing is, I don't think they know really what type of football they're playing and what type of team they are. But I think if Pulis comes in, they definitely will know that. Now, whether he's got the personnel to adopt that sort of style, which we anticipate he'll play if he comes in, is another thing. But at least under Pulis, I suppose they'll know what team they are, which they don't know at the moment.
Mm.
And the thing I found interesting was Steve Parrish, who I think is, as far as I know, quite good friends with Holloway. He actually said before Holloway stepped down that he'd be content to be relegated with Holloway and have another go at it, come back up again, because he thinks Holloway's got a job to stay. You know?
And also, like, Holloway just sort of said that he effectively had to stop or try to stop Steve Parrish from spending money in the summer. It's wonderful to hear that. It's like Holloway's going, we can't just refresh.
That's why he wants him to stay.
I thought actually it was quite refreshing to hear Steve Parrish talking. Firstly, at the risk of sounding a bit like a Little England, it was nice to hear an Englishman talking, being in charge of an English football club in the Premier League.
But you are a fascist. Yeah. Get in the perspex queue.
Get in
the perspex queue.
I'd rather be with the dogs, but and good hair as well. Steve Parrish.
Very lush hair.
Yes, indeed. But he did talk very candidly as well, and very openly before the game, which was on BT Sports, a free weekend of BT Sports.
Oh, it was.
So I thought, I hope they get the right man in, and it could be a case of getting Pulis in, as you say, because he will make them much more solid. And
it'd be nice to see them have a go at the Premier League, staying in the Premier League this season.
Anyway. Who knows?
I was going to say that it was a good result for Arsenal in the end, also because they were turned over against Dortmund, and it was the manner in which they were beaten was quite galling for them.
Because it was exhausting.
And they've got
went all out,
and they've got some tough games coming up. And Arsenal should be applauded for that, because at 1-0 they actually went for it. And they got beat, and fair enough. But the manner in which they lost, and the fact that they know they've got a lot of hard games coming up, means that it was really important for them to win at Palace, and it was a potential banana skin for them away from home, and they did well.
On a slightly different matter, but staying with Crystal Palace, I thought the most magnificent moment of that event at Selhurst Park was when the players were coming off at half time and there was a big close up of the Palace Eagle.
Oh yeah, it looked great, didn't it? Looked great.
Reminded me of being at Benfica when that thing swooped in the stadium, and people were tweeting saying that we should have maybe an Eagle Cup with Benfica and Lazio and Palace. And all.
That would be brilliant.
Well,
and the winner, the winner maybe plays Nigeria.
Yeah, the Super Eagle. Yeah. Good idea. Yeah.
It's an excellent idea. So I'll get on that. Elsewhere, another team won in the Premier League. In fact, a couple of teams did. One of them was Sunderland, though, Peter.
Yeah, they did well. Really well. I thought the first half, it was brilliant. I thought Altidore was, you know, one of the performers of the weekend.
He's
I thought he was fantastic. Mm. He just took everyone apart.
He looks a different player from when he was here with Hull.
Yeah. I hope that Sunderland kind of kick on from this, because they've had a ridiculously awful time. And
is that a lie?
Newcastle went. And Newcastle just went out at the races. They just did not give a shit at all. I'm just tired of just watching us try to smash balls in from 30 yards. It just doesn't.
Would you change your
allegiance to have? We don't appear to have any footballers in the 18-yard box at the moment. And
it's got to the point now with Newcastle where they are now just sticking shoulder in against Sunderland, because it's the most unscientific way of picking a player. Well, he always scores against Sunderland.
Yeah. He's magic against them.
He's 62 years old now. Yeah. He's not going to score.
He's built like two Altidores tipped together.
Yeah. All right, Shearer, it's Kinnear.
Yeah. I thought, is it Debussy? Was it Debussy's first ever goal?
Yeah, it was.
Great ball from Ben Arfa.
Was
it? Great vision.
Was it a shot?
It was drilled.
No, I don't think it was.
I think he drilled that as a shot. I think it was a different shot.
He'll take it. He gets an assist.
Great accidental ball from Ben Arfa.
It was terrible defending from Sunderland for that goal, but I thought first half they were brilliant. We did, you know, Newcastle did have a period in the second half where I thought we might, you know, kick on and do something, but it was a hell of a goal to wrap it up, to be fair. Though,
great for Barini as well.
Sunderland. I'm so pleased for him, yeah.
Sunderland with successive derbies since 1960.
Yeah, it's the first time since.
Do you mean successive derby wins?
Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah. I mean,
actually, that sentence does work. They have had successive derbies since.
Derby have had lords.
I was more honing in on 1967.
Yeah. Summer of love.
Same year.
It wouldn't have been in the summer. But I was pleased for Barini just because I think he's a good player. And what I saw of him before he came to England, he looks really talented. He's been so unlucky with injuries and stuff. And for him to struggle at that. And it was a really nice goal from Sunderland, actually. And for them to, and in many ways, the same way that sort of Arsenal went for it against Dortmund, Sunderland were probably quite tired by that point. Derby games are always played at quite a fast pace.
Yeah.
And they really caught Newcastle napping. And obviously, it was a great finish. And Krul was unlucky not to save, actually. He got his hand to it.
Mm. But it
was a great goal.
It's like his hand was that of a ghost's.
He
the
was,
ball didn't care, just went straight through.
Yeah. No, it's not a ghost goal.
No. Don't get Pete on that again. He still doesn't understand it. We've been all week explaining it.
No, you tried to explain what a ghost was.
Yeah,
you mean Nan's not going to live forever? Luke, just a bit of your chair just fell off there.
Broken, an absolute radio chair, my word.
Let's not get banterous.
I'm so excited about Fabio Barini's goal. I've torn the arm off the chair.
It's a ghost studio.
Yeah.
Barini said that he's got a mental coach. I thought, previous on was a moment. thank you. he visualised it, didn't he? And he knew that it was going to happen. If I was a footballer, I'd say that every time after I did something good.
Yeah, well, no way, really.
It's a pretty straightforward set of events to envision, though, isn't it?
A winning goal.
Yeah.
Ball that went in.
I like it though.
I wouldn't have hit it like that, to be fair. If I was a footballer, I'd be a bit more safety.
To be honest, I don't think I'd have got a game.
Yeah. So. We might have talked about this on the show before, but I'm pretty sure we said that Wayne Rooney always asks the kit man what kit they're wearing, and he asks to look at the strip that he's going to be wearing.
Oh, yeah, I think
Maybe the day before.
He forgets,
like that.
Though. Yeah. he's a bit dumb.
Remind himself what his profession is.
do you do that with comedy, Tim? Do you say, where am I playing? You know, what
let's see the mic. Let me sniff the
I do go
cable.
On the stage before the gig, yeah.
Yeah. Visualise.
Yeah.
Let me smell the XLR cable. That's what Pete's
saying.
Sorry. It was Pete's joke.
All right. Yeah. Sorry, it's fine.
Yeah. Well,
we can only take Luke's word for that or listen back to the recording.
Yeah, Jim usually swallows jokes, so we always talk over Jim's jokes.
Poor old Jim. Hey,
poor old Jim.
But at least he's got an outlet for it, as do you. So Sunderland 1-2-1. Well done to them. Poor old Newcastle, eh? Go quietly into the night. There was another 2-1. In the Premier League. What about that for a link? Chelsea beat Manchester City 2-1. Mm. Lot has been made on Fernando Torres' performance.
I thought he was excellent.
Joe Hart's mistake.
I didn't think he was excellent.
Let's tackle that one first, Joe Hart. Was it a Hart mistake or was it the defender?
I think anybody who's played with Joe Hart before knows that Joe Hart loves a header. He loves running out. Mm-hmm. He loves saying, I'm an outfield player sometimes, ha ha ha.
But Nastasic was in a position where he just had to do something so quickly. And, like, you know, Hart clearly called for it, but... In a stadium that loud, is it? It was just a bit of a rash decision.
Luke, you're our resident centre back.
As someone who is shit at centre back and in goal, I feel like I could probably offer something on this.
Yeah.
And I think when the ball's that far out and you've got one of your own defenders coming towards you, you know, you trust your defender to do a job there. And if a defender gets to it first, you get a header back to you nice and easy. If a defender doesn't get to it first, a striker gets to it, you've got a chance to make a save. Mm. If you come out like that at 100 mile an hour, and you're not, there's no way. I mean, Joe Hart plays football every single day of his life, right? There's no way he could be 100% he would get to that ball. So as soon as he makes that decision, he's given himself an awful lot to do, and he's also set himself up for a fall. In a way, it's completely Joe Hart's fault, because Nastasic is thinking to do his, he's doing his job. He's running back towards his goal, which no defender really likes doing. But he knows he'll back himself to get to the ball, and if he doesn't, he'll back his keeper to make a save. Mm. If as soon as Hart takes himself out of that situation, tries to do like an ersatz Hugo Lloris and try and come out. Mm. And look, the reason Lloris is so good at that is because his decision making is flawless. He never gets it wrong.
But you know Lloris is that type of keeper.
Joe Hart is suffering from a crisis of confidence at the moment, and I think also he's the type of goalkeeper who needs to be making saves. And that sounds like stupid.
No, I know what you're saying about
that.
You get
some goalkeepers who are very good at the top level, and today's a great example of this is Edwin van der Sar, who doesn't need to be making five saves a game, but when he needs to make one, he'll always make it. Mm. Some keepers are a lot better at making saves over and over again because it's what they do.
England haven't had a keeper like that for a while. Probably the last one was, off the top of my head, maybe David Seaman, who could go long periods of the game without having to make a save and then make one. We've talked about that many times, as has many people, about the different styles of goalkeeper, top club or middle table club.
The problem I think Joe Hart's got, it's only my opinion, I don't know the guy. I know people who know him who've said that he's really popular at Man City and he's really popular at England as well. And so it's not that none of the other players have not got confidence in him, but I think the problem started when Mancini was making movements towards maybe signing another keeper last season, and then you sort of combine that with he's not really got anyone pushing him. I don't mean that in a De Gea, Lindegaard sort of way, where they don't really know whether they're coming or going.
Lindegaard would push him.
Yeah, but I don't think that he's got someone.
No, he doesn't.
Pantilimon, for example, Pantilimon's never been given a league game for City, I don't think, so he's obviously not really of that level. So in training every day, I wonder whether Joe Hart sees another keeper around that's going to push him.
We've talked about Joe Hart before, and as you know, a couple of seasons ago, he had the real presence of a winner. And when someone is like that, they have a little bit of a mini crisis, if you like, when they make a few mistakes. Some of them haven't been howlers, but some of them have. If you're a winner, maybe he's trying to prove himself too much now, as you say, that what he should concentrate on is just waiting for the saves to come and all that kind of stuff, not looking for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hart was very much Mancini's guy, wasn't he? You know, he had so much confidence in him. You know, it was really sort of clearly they had a good relationship. And, you know, with Pellegrini coming in and Hart making these mistakes, as you say, it seems like the paranoia of appearing to be a quite sort of hapless, blunderful goalkeeper is getting to him and making him make stupid decisions and do that exact thing.
I think Marcus is right in what he's touched on. I understand what you're saying, Jim, but Mancini did. There were rumours coming out of City last season that Mancini wanted another keeper. So, you know, that's when Hart started making mistakes. Mm. He hasn't just started making mistakes this season. He's made them over the last year or so, and he's made quite a lot of them.
But they seem to be increasing in frequency, is what
because
I'm saying.
Because what I think that's because what I think what Marcus has touched on is correct, where he's because a lot of keepers when they start making mistakes and they start having sort of really bad games and they know they're not going to be dropped. A lot of things they'll not make a decision. They'll stay on their line a lot more for corners and crosses and stuff like that. Which Hart seems to be the opposite. It's just because I think he is such a confident person.
Yeah,
because. Really, that Nastasic thing. Now, you know, it was high profile, and he's going to get hammered for it. But he's been getting hammered anyway. That was a crazy decision to make.
Yeah, it was. I
mean, it's not even like the striker's coming in through on his own. If he's coming through on his own, and Hart thinks he's quick enough, and he thinks the striker's not as quick, then you can sort of understand it. But the fact there's a defender there as well, it's a crazy decision.
It's hard to play goalkeeper proactively. You're only ever going to be the last line of defence, aren't you? Right. So it's hard to sort of go, I'll you know, absolve the mistakes that I've made in the last few weeks by coming out and punching the ball, coming out and doing something like that, which is a bad decision for a keeper to make because they're only ever going to be the last line of defence, and they're the ones at the end of the day are going to be picking the ball out of the net.
Exactly. I think actually though, what you should reserve praise for Torres because he really deserved his goal, and it was unfortunate. I mean, he won't care, but it was unfortunate that it came from a mistake from someone else.
He still had a fair bit to do.
He did. Yeah, he really deserved his goal. He was so good. He was almost like the Torres of old, completely unplayable at times.
The difference between Mancini and Pellegrini though is the fact that you know, Pellegrini basically said, "I'm not going to discuss the, you know, the what happened in the game.
I'm not going to discuss individuals.
I'm not going to discuss individuals. I'm not going to talk about names."
I think
Mancini would be like, he's a prick.
Yeah, he would be.
I fucked it right up.
But Peter Cech didn't cover himself in glory for Aguero's goal. It was a great finish.
I thought Cech had done better. But that was a beautiful strike. Aguero's really just a bit scary at the moment. Yeah.
Terry on Aguero? That little sort of elbowy.
Yeah, they got quite physical at some point.
There was Javi Garcia on Torres as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk of Di Matteo starting the game, and people were sort of questioning that.
Lescott not included?
Well, for me, I didn't think that at all. I thought that Di Matteo's is vast experience. Mm. He's won like four doubles at Bayern Munich, I think. I mean, he won the double four times.
Yeah.
And he's got several caps for Argentina.
He's still not that highly rated.
I think it's because he's a bit slow.
Yeah.
He's always been quite slow. But Lescott's not exactly set the world on fire anyway, has he? So it's not as though you're leaving someone completely. I mean, it's not like Mourinho leaving Mata out of the squad or something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Lescott's not really played that well for ages.
True. Should we talk about the diving quickly?
Yeah, okay.
Mourinho dived into the crowd.
Oh, yeah. He was looking for his son. Apparently.
Pellegrini.
Liam Neeson.
Pellegrini was.
Mel Gibson. Give me back my son!
I have a unique set of skills. One of them, which is eye gouging.
Yeah, that is true. Pellegrini was spectacularly offended by that.
Yeah, it's really unusual.
I thought, well, it's not that bad. It's what we like to see. Don't we?
I loved it when he said, "Why didn't you shake his hand?" I didn't want to.
I loved that. Yeah. So
take note, Mark Hughes.
Yeah, most managers. Well, I didn't see him, or I had a phone call to make, or something.
Or it's really not that big a deal. Yeah. It's just some skin touching.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Oh dear, skin touching.
One thing I did find interesting about the weekend, Sunday in particular, was that there were a lot of late goals, almost as if the clocks going back affected everyone.
A lot of headers as well, actually. Mm. Quite a few headers.
Well, mainly from Luis Suarez.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, God.
Luis Suarez and Daniel Sturridge are having a lovely old time.
Yeah,
proper partnership, and not an old-fashioned partnership. I think they're far more dynamic and modern.
Yeah.
But a strike partnership, nevertheless.
A form partnership.
They're both
in rude health at the moment. Mm. What I liked about that game was that Luis Suarez scoring three goals, completely blitzed Sturridge's excellent chip.
Oh, yeah. What a chip.
Could not have been any better.
Sturridge's 10th goal of the season already. That's brilliant.
Yeah, he's flying. And Suarez, that header Suarez scored, the first header he got,
It was like
some sort of like cheat where everything you touch goes into the goal. Yeah. I've never seen a header. I mean, not since the days of big Christian Vieri have I seen headers that powerful.
Well, it comes at him so quickly. I think, how did he know that the ball was going to be there? Because he came at him so quickly. How did he know that he was in a position to header that? Because he was in the air.
To float a header powerfully is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. The overhead kick as well, that was very nearly a goal, was
good save.
Brilliant.
Pushed onto the bar. It's a brilliant save.
First goal, nuts in the defender, and then just whacking it in the corner of the net.
Ridiculous.
Outside of the, it was a toe. It was a toe, mate.
The nutmeg of Olsen was so good, you almost didn't see it happen.
Yeah.
It's just so
I thought he stumbled through, and you look at it again, and he proper megs him.
Yeah,
no, fabulous stuff from Liverpool. Mm. They're doing well. I mean, it would be great to see them up there at the end of the season.
And you got to remember, West Brom did the double over Liverpool last season.
And they won at Old Trafford the other week.
Yeah. West Brom are a good team. I mean, what's happening is now, is that they've accommodated both those players in. It was always going to be interesting because Sturridge was in such good form, and you almost thought that Sturridge became really good because he became the main man. And this is what people have been calling for ages at City and at Chelsea. And now at Liverpool, he had the chance to be the main man because Suarez became suspended for a long time. You'd have Suarez and Sturridge ahead of Van Persie and Rooney at the moment. Oh, and they're both still playing well, you know, Rooney especially. But you still have those Liverpool strikers. And when was the last time you could say that? You know, a long time ago.
Or you become next summer, Rooney and Sturridge.
There you go. In Brazil. Yeah. Hold on to your hats, Brazil.
I would say silverware, but it would be goldware for that World Cup.
For, I reckon, four games.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah. That means we get through the group.
Yeah, I'd massively take that.
But Wayne Rooney and Robin Van Persie, they did score at Old Trafford on the weekend and they beat Stoke City 3-2. Mm. Is that the game? Well, have they turned a corner?
So much,
are they going to kick on? Is David Moyes blah, 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 blah?
I'm really happy about this victory because when I saw they were 1-0 down, I was like, oh God, Moyes might be so bad that they sack him and then someone comes in and starts doing well and it, like that big Man United beast are back.
But isn't it, it's weird, isn't it, that... I misinterpreted what you said. I was actually seeing the scores come in and I thought, oh, it's a shame Manchester United losing at home to a poorer side. And I thought, blimey, what's happened?
Mm.
It's a strange one, isn't it?
Is Wayne really the only player flourishing under Devin Moyes at the moment?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm right in saying, I didn't see this game too closely. I was elsewhere, but I think they might have scored their two goals when they took Tom Cleverley off. Which is
I think they took Nani off as well, and was it Kagawa?
Didn't a United fan spit at Nani?
I definitely heard a bunch of them swearing at him as he came off, yeah.
That's not good.
Someone called him a useless shite.
A lovely free kick from an Altovic. Crouch got the first goal.
And now this is a great player.
Yeah, we like
not
him,
a useless
we?
Shite.
It was a really important game for United because, as we touched on last week, they've got a whole bunch of winnable games coming up. So next up, they're at home to Norwich, and they're away to Fulham. And then they've got the Arsenal game in the league after that, I think.
John Walters missed a great chance at 1-0.
He'll do that. He will do it. Was it a penalty?
Wasn't even a penalty.
Oh, it's brilliant. I normally miss pens. So, different for me.
He's a good penalty taker. Do you know who's missed the most penalties in Premier League history?
Who?
Alan Shearer.
Really?
Hey.
According to OptiJoke.
How many has he missed?
11.
Wow, really?
That's what it's. I was surprised myself.
So you could have had 271 Premier League goals.
Do your own research there, because even that sounds... But that's... Yeah. Unless I misread it and it was one.
Are you trying to imply that Jonathan Walters is aspiring to that record?
I'm fairly certain that Sean Amiobi's only missed two.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm just saying Walters is actually not a bad penalty taker.
Who's got more Premier League goals out of Shearer? Forget.
Forget.
It's a definite close one.
He's in the Nigeria squad for the World Cup, so it's fine.
Yeah. No, you're talking. But yeah, so Manchester United, they came from behind showing the old spirit, etc, etc. Rooney played very well. Rooney did celebrate his 28th birthday recently, the private party. Comedian Roy Chubby Brown provided the entertainment.
Freaking private, Jesus.
When I first saw you write that in the run order, I had to research and make sure that Rooney is definitely 28. I had a bit of a moment. I was like, can he be that old?
Was that the most disturbing part of that sentence? I did say Roy Chubby Brown.
Roy Chubby Brown has got three or four professional, like, tribute acts, one of whom has his own DVD.
Oh, my giddy aunt.
What's he called? They got the same
They've all got, they're all variations on it. They're puns on the name. It's
he'd be in Pete's section.
Incredible.
Yeah, he would.
He'd be the first one in.
He'd be the ringleader.
Can you let me know whether he had Stereophonics as well? He loves them, old Rooney.
Does he?
Yeah, he's got a tattoo of something from one of their albums, hasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, Stereophonics are all right. Mm. Oh, and a funny one, just before we move on. Ryan Shawcross apparently got booked in the dressing room. At half time, there was a bit of afters with him and Van Persie in the tunnel, and the referee knocked on the dressing room door and booked him, according to Mark Hughes.
Oh,
Ryan Shawcross becomes shortly very cross.
That would have been quite weird to see if he'd have got a second yellow in the second half and got sent off, and everyone in the crowd would have been like, "Hang on, he's made a mistake."
You are on a howl at that ref.
Yeah.
You clown.
Says the representative of the Cockney Reds.
Yeah.
There, so that is the Premier League. Let's briefly move on to the Championship. Burnley beat QPR 2-0. They're having a great time. Danny Ings with a brace. One of them was a lovely move. I think it was the first one.
And one was a pen, wasn't it? He's got 15 this season. Only 21 years old as well.
For the first goal, Danny Ings,
Pete loves
such
him.
Wonderful work to keep on running. I didn't see where that pass was coming from, and it came back to him from Vaux. Five QPR players just out.
It was one of my favourite goals of the weekend, actually. Yeah. And the finish was gorgeous.
So, terrible celebration, pulling his shorts over his tummy.
Yeah, I didn't
like that. He's from Southampton, they're a bit funny down there.
Ooh,
steady.
Getting personal.
Local rivalries.
local rivalries.
Thanks, Jim. No stone is unturned. Harry Redknapp, obviously in charge of QPR. He was on the Jonathan Ross show, did you see that?
That was nauseating.
Local idiot.
He was also on the One Show last week when they had a item about fraud. I'm not going to gather any more than that. That is a fact.
I mean, we've talked about Redknapp and his book and all the rest of it. He went on the Jonathan Ross Show. For those of you outside the UK, that is one of the big chat shows in the
UK. It's like your Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yeah, that one. And Redknapp, Jonathan Ross said to him, "But you thought you were going to get the England job." Oh, well, to be honest, I mean, I was at a good time at Tottenham. I was having a lovely time at Tottenham. I thought if it comes up, a week before Brendan Rodgers is going, he approached me asking me to be his assistant for the England job.
Even all the players texted him, told him they wanted to have it.
He even said, like, when the news came through that he hadn't got the England job, he was in his car. Like, does he live in his car?
Constantly. He was ready for it. Or they're going to announce it. Yeah. Better be where they
pull
all
up outside the studio.
I've got to be where they all.
Jamie's in the back of an ice cream. Come on,
son, listen to this. Yeah, the lies on Saturday night British television.
And as my dad said to me when I was 14 years old, it's the lies I can't.
Yeah,
stand.
That's it. Oh dear, but we must move on because Middlesbrough beat Doncaster 4-0, and they've parted ways with Tony Mowbray.
Yeah,
and who's their interim manager at the moment? Mark Venus.
Mark Venus,
one of Hartlepool's favourite sons.
That's true. It's a shame because Mowbray's one of Middlesbrough's. Well, I don't know if he's from Middlesbrough. I think he is, but he's obviously played for them and captained them.
It's quite sad, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame.
You couldn't manage to get him up. I didn't know that Hartlepool's got a Richie Humphreys way.
Has it?
Like, it's kind of not, you know, he didn't really play for that long a time. Now he's the head of the PFA.
He is, yeah. Played for Sheffield Wednesday.
Are they struggling for people to name on them?
It seems to be. There's a lot of new roads and all that.
Yeah.
I might ask
do they still have Pete Donaldson Dungeon?
Just a hole in the ground.
There's a new Sir Alex Ferguson road in New Old Trafford now as well, isn't there?
How many? They must have a few there, though.
It's only going to be a matter of time before Manchester is renamed Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
Well,
turned into a big Alex Ferguson themed theme park.
Yeah, but he'll start taking the piss out of the town planners or something, moaning about them, and they'll be like, actually, maybe
Roy Keane will never go back to Manchester again.
Right, his trains don't run late enough.
indeed. Let's move on. Oh, I've got to mention League Two here. The most exciting league the world has ever known to man. 3 points separate first and ninth.
I've been trying to tell you that.
And only 6 points separate first and 13th. And only 9 points separate first and Portsmouth.
Yeah, who was 16th, I think. Portsmouth had
points first and ninth.
Portsmouth have an all right run. We haven't lost it in the whole of October.
You got another point on the weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, we were at Torquay. It was terrible defending for the first goal, but it was a good equaliser late on. But midweek, just after we recorded last week's show, Portsmouth hosted Wycombe Wanderers at Fratton Park.
Yeah.
And the game had to be called off at half time because due to an absolutely biblical storm.
Oh, it was.
Mm. And the tunnel was in about 3 feet of water. Mm. It was crazy.
Funny, Mark Fish was here.
It was one all. It was one all at the time as well. So got to replay that one. So we're doing all right at the moment. I'm quite chuffed.
Yeah.
Look, we were quite chuffed.
Yeah. But the guy who scored the equaliser for Portsmouth was Ryan Bird, and Portsmouth is one of the players that Pommy picks up from non-league when they're in real trouble. It's good to see him get on the score sheet.
Very good to see him on the score sheet. Mm. What else? Well, before we leave Britain, I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson's book.
It's amazing. He's just trolled everyone, isn't it?
What do you think? I mean,
a little bit needless, let's say.
Do you think it's a bit
financially?
Do you think it's tasteless or classless?
It's a weird kind of.
It's a reminder, isn't it, of what Alex Ferguson was actually like? It's just been lauded since he retired, and understandably because he had such a great career. But everyone forgets what a just dick he can be as well.
Even Zinedine Zidane was sort of. Well, I'm surprised he didn't say Steven Gerrard was a very 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 good player.
Didn't he say he was a top player, but not a top player?
It's ridiculous. Brendan Rodgers was like, no, he's a top player.
Yeah. It gets to the point where
he's an okay player. Yeah.
When these various levels that all these, you know, football managers with incredible wisdom that the likes of us could never understand have, it gets to the point where being a good player means you're actually shit.
Yeah, exactly.
There's about 10 levels down but from being a top world-class top player.
Yeah, but if you're a decent player, you're a legend as well now. I don't know how it works.
Or terrific. You're terrific as
terrific.
Well.
Lovely.
The reason Brendan Rodgers was confused is because as far as he was concerned, he doesn't have players. He has pieces of the jigsaw of Liverpool's growth who contribute to the group. That's what he has.
I know.
He's not interested.
I know. Well, Roy Keane wasn't too impressed either.
His mum wasn't either.
Yeah, but that sentence always applies, doesn't it?
That is true. That's the Northern Lights, Roy. I'm not that impressed. Yeah.
But,
John Delaney told you that was a Northern Lights. Yeah. I wouldn't listen to anything that man said.
Stick above your ballocks.
Stick to Northern Lights up your ballocks.
Northern Lights of one fuckle.
I liked it when Roy Keane was piping up about Ferguson's book on the Champions League coverage. Yeah. I just like to think of Alfie Inga Haaland watching it, just spitting out his coffee. What?
Yeah. Oh, dear. But better news from former managers. Craig Brown was honoured by the SFA.
Yeah, yeah,
and this is the difference between him and Ferguson. They asked him about his upcoming honorary dinner.
Do the voice.
And he said, "I'm getting a wee honour at the weekend." Which is a lovely start to a sentence. But he then said that maybe the biggest honour he got was when he was part-time manager of Clyde in the second division, working as a teacher. And he received a phone call during one of his lessons from Alex Ferguson, not a sir at the time, a bit like myself, and asking him to go to the World Cup in Mexico with him. At that World Cup, Ferguson took with him Craig Brown, Walter Smith and Archie Knox. Dream team! How did they go out in the first round?
Just very grey, pink faces.
That is amazing! Like, what a lineup!
Like an off Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah.
Faded.
Oi, Moore, you're having a bit of that.
Is he talking shite again?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You can imagine Walter Smith, Archie Knox and Ferguson having massively pissed rows and Craig Brown coming down in his pants and he's gone to Bernie going, "Come on, everybody, just come on down.
Can we keep it down?
We need to get some flair."
No need for that, Archie.
I've got my first
I smell
back
a sitcom.
On.
I really do smell a sitcom.
Oh, just... my dream, I can't believe my luck that happened. Let's leave Great Britain.
We're going to leave that.
We're going to leave that image with you.
La Liga, Barcelona 2, Real Madrid 1. Alexis Sanchez wins it with a chipped beauty.
It was a lovely goal, that. It was a really, really good goal.
Wasn't it?
And Gareth Bale was really bad. I know he's not fully fit, but I mean, I don't know what. I don't know why he was picked.
Why did they chuck him in then?
But it's politics, isn't it? It's just Ancelotti's picked him because he's been under political pressure. But Isco didn't even get on, I don't think. I don't think he played a minute.
Ramos in a defensive midfield role.
Mm. Very strange behaviour. But Sanchez's goal was worthy of winning that game.
Absolute
beauty,
class. And Neymar obviously broke the deadlock as well.
I thought that was a soft goal, though. That was
it was a bit of a soft goal. I think he put the ball between two Madrid defenders' legs on its way in.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier, like, in the season, just when Bale had signed for Madrid, that his ridiculous fee took a lot of pressure off Neymar. And that does seem to have kind of happened.
It really
Neymar's
has.
started well, but sort of quietly. There seems to be no kind of pressure on him. It's just, take it at your own pace, mate. It's great.
One thing you wouldn't have thought would happen would be for Neymar to have like an under-the-radar quiet start.
Exactly, that has happened.
Yeah, and it's great for him.
I love it how Madrid try to trump Barcelona, well, we're going to spend a lot more money. And all they've done is handicapped themselves and aided Barcelona.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we said this at the time, I think, and the caveat is that Bale may go on to do great things at Real Madrid because he's obviously...
Yeah, he's too good to, you know...
But trading in Ozil for him and paying off 40-odd million as well, which they essentially unsettled Ozil, didn't they? And he went... He didn't seem like he wanted to go at the time. And, of course, Bale's had those injury problems since he's been at Madrid. But, I mean, I don't think they have, of course, absolutely right. But I don't actually think Gareth Bale's a better player than Ozil. I think Ozil's a better player than him.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a crazy thing to do. I know it's around politics and selling of shirts and marketing and stuff like that as well. Mm. But Real Madrid always do that at the behest of their own success.
Mm. And, I mean, what happens with Isco now? When they're both fit? How does that work?
It's crazy. And I know that Real Madrid, European-wise, are the most successful football club in the world, but... How much more successful would they have been in the last 10 years if they didn't completely shoot themselves in the foot over and over again with ridiculous decisions?
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? It really is crazy. Bale was so bad against Barcelona. Mm. And you could argue that there are only one or two league games a season that Real Madrid play where they're playing opposition of top quality. And he's got to really be counted in those games. Mm. Now, fair enough, he's not fully fit. But, I mean, he was so bad.
But
this
is the frustrating thing about, as you say, the politics. And, of course, you're right in saying that. But what you've done there is you've put Bale in the deep end. You've probably destroyed a little bit of his confidence. And it's not a good idea. You've lost the... Oh, dear.
And also, what does it do to Isco? As we've already touched on, it undermines his confidence after an amazing start.
He's really good.
Completely. Yeah. Elsewhere, Atletico Madrid, they kept the pressure on Barcelona with a 5-0 win. So they're just 1 point behind the Catalan side. Whereas in Italy, Roma won again. They've got the record, 9 straight wins from the start of the season in Serie A. Juve did have that a few years ago, but because of the Calciopoli scandal, that achievement no longer stands. Roma, bloody hell.
Michael Bradley scored, didn't he?
Big Bradders. Mm. Big Bradders.
And
we're going to go to South America for a little treat. In Colombia, this was from last week, Independiente Santa Fe were away to Boyacá Chico. They forgot their away kit. They had their home kit on them, but due to the fact it clashes with Chico's kit, the home side refused to wear their away colours at home. So Santa Fe needed to start the match, with their training tops, with numbers taped on the back. And one of the Santa Fe backroom staff went outside the ground and bought counterfeit Santa Fe away kits, penned the names and numbers on the back. And
they won, didn't they?
To win 2-0. But I love the fact that a professional club have to buy counterfeit.
If you lose that game, it's an absolute embarrassment. But as they won it, it just seems like this brilliant triumph over adversity.
I mean, if they were playing away, how could he get counterfeit away tops outside the ground?
Yeah, it's a strange one.
They're a bigger team, I suppose.
Mm. There's money to be made. And where else? You know, we're in South America. Former Arsenal man, I think, Nelson Vivas.
Arsenal Hall of Famer, Nelson Vivas.
He's resigned.
To use his full name.
He's resigned as coach of Argentine First Division side.
Yeah, he did it in a strange way, didn't he?
He went into the crowd after a fan had been insulting him and punched him 3 times.
Vivas is quite small as well.
Yeah.
If I were that fan, I mean, presuming that fan is a male adult, I'd be embarrassed.
He could have been smaller. I like what Vivas said afterwards. I'm not a violent person, but I realise that that's not the image a trainer should give. It's a harsh lesson to learn.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing that I could say, because nobody's ever seen me waltz into a crowd and chin someone.
When you give a manager a job, you don't even mention that stuff.
No.
That's a given, isn't it? Don't punch the fans.
Well,
that's a given.
Is it? Is this what we're learning? Do we know that Mourinho didn't do that at the weekend? Just covered it all up.
Nelson, you can't do... Yeah, well, I realise that now.
God, why didn't you tell me? Nothing in my contract, I've checked.
I'm not a mind reader.
Dear. And just before we go off this main part of the show, despite owning a house there and being granted a 1-year residency permit, Ricardo Teixeira's application for permanent residence in Andorra has been rejected.
Yay.
They could get him still, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. They could get him still. Right, and that wraps up the main part of the show.
Now, funny for now, did you see New York Red Bull, they won the Supporters' Shield. Did you see Henry's goal?
No,
I haven't seen
Look at it on the internet. Your boy-esque volley, beautiful.
Was there it?
Get on it. Get on it.
Dishing that sort of a praise out willy-nilly.
Now it's time for Pete's game.
Yes, it is time for Pete's game. Who have we got here? Who have we got here? And what piece of paper did I put it on?
Anytime now.
I've got it.
Yes.
I haven't got a game name. I'll come up with one very quickly.
Come on.
Bloody hell, Pete.
Come on, guys. We've got 2 shows to record in a night. I'm spent.
Danny Blind Date.
Good.
I was going to say Joe Heart to Heart. But yours is better. So.
Danny Flynn Day. That's my favourite one ever, Pete.
I'll be telling you precisely who's who gave me these clues
Hasn't done the clues. Hasn't even thought of
the
name.
Hasn't even read two words.
It's Mitchell Sterling.
At some point soon...
Is that the answer?
Thank you, Mitchell Sterling.
At some point soon, we're going to get to this part of the show, Pete's going to leave, and someone else is going to come in and do it for him.
Yeah.
And he's going to be sat outside in the window just with a cup of coffee with his feet up.
Sounds good.
Come on. Get on with it.
I'll go for a coffee right now. Right, I was born the 18th of May, 1973, in Guadalupe.
6 years after the summer of love. We don't do that anymore. In Guadalupe. Guadalupe. Yeah, okay.
Where's that?
My first club was Stade Brestois. Brestois!
We don't know. We don't know.
I made my name serving penalties from Lee Dixon and Gilles Grimandi in FA Cup tie.
Stop. Is it Bernard Lamar?
No. Oh. And Jeff Horsfield in the League Cup. I have 3 League Cup winners' medals.
Stop. Peggy Alpexa.
Peggy Alpexa. Yeah.
Oh!
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
I had a 100% win ratio play for Liverpool.
Yeah, he did. He's one of those strange players who actually, in his entire career, made about 60 appearances. One of the worst careers, I think.
Well, 3 winners' medals, mate.
I'll tell you, Winston Bojarde gets a lot of hassle for just being a mercenary. Peggy Arfaxad, he wasn't interested in playing at any stage.
Steve Harper bit of the weekend for Hull.
He did.
And narrowly kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, they didn't. They got beat.
Narrowly kept a clean sheet, I say.
Does that count?
No. It's up there with the ghost goals, I think. Yeah.
Thank you, Mitchell Sterling.
Yeah, thanks, Mitchell.
You're the best.
Luke, bit of correspondence.
Yes, going back to something we touched on a bit earlier, but perhaps maybe in a more irreverent way. I asked the many, many inhabitants of the internet, which is still out there, you can still use it, how would you help Joe Hart get his form back? First up, Matt Riley, friend of the ramble.
Yes.
Says, I'd make the penalty area as big as the whole pitch. That would help him. But it would become confusing.
It wouldn't help the game.
Here's a Brendan Rodgers related dig. I would put his name in an envelope, possibly 3 times. From Matt
Swart. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Do your okay, Mark?
Okay.
Yeah, this is better.
Yeah, that might be Jim's is richer.
Come on.
Chris Miller says, I'd make him switch to herbal essences. What else have we got here? Tom Priest comes in with a beauty. 2 words for you. Eileen Drury.
All right, blimey. Going back to Glen Hoddle's England.
And I'll have Glen Hoddle driving him there, he says.
There you go.
Get big Neville Southall in to chip away at his confidence. Well done, he's 26.
After every, like, by the goals of the Premier League crowns.
That's from Chris Best. Alessandro Amasante on the Twitter says, good name, says, get him a transfer to police machine. It's very unlikely they have to make any saves.
That is an excellent point. They should get a loan deal.
Yeah.
Stick him up front.
I'd give him reins. I'd give him reins tied to the goalpost so he couldn't go too far away from them.
Did you see that sticks in Sabutio?
Yeah.
The crowd were allowed to pull on it.
Was it Spurs who played? Was it Sheriff?
Yes, yeah. It was. Yeah.
Who? And the badge is like a sheriff's badge. Isn't
I
it?
Like that.
That is good.
I've got two more left. I've got two more. Just quickly before we go, Oscar on the Twitter says, "I give him a shorter neck." Oscar doesn't really explain how he'd do that and how it would help. But yeah, to be fair to him, he only had 140 characters.
So. Yeah.
And the final one from Josh on Twitter as well says, "He's not been the same since I saw him at a Beyonce concert a few months ago." So,
well, there's your
possibly
answer.
There's a subplot there.
Yeah, maybe that's the cause of the problem, not the solution.
Another one of those next week.
Maybe when Beyonce asked if he could handle it, his brain just went, no.
I would add hydrochloric acid to his head and shoulders, and then the top of his scalp would be melted away, and then I'd just chuck a load of marbles in his brain. Can't hurt.
True, can't do any worse.
That's the end of the football round.
Can I just say before you go, I think Beyonce did say, I don't think you can handle this, and Joe piped up on the mic like, I can, I'm a keeper.
Yeah.
Dear.
Yeah. Wasn't worth interrupting you, was it?
You should have let us go.
Sorry, mate.
Apology accepted. That is the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show at thefootballramble.com. Twitter is at Football Ramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete. First, before I say goodbye, goodbye. I'll top and tail this message with
that's
a goodbye. Man City versus Norwich is the Rock and Football match this Saturday on Absolute Radio. You can listen like anywhere, but all the details are up online, absoluteradio.co.uk. Goodbye.
Luke.
Goodbye.
Jimmy.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me, darlings.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.